If you're a guy who likes to get attention during the holidays, consider wearing the color red. A recent study suggests that men look their best during the winter months when they wear bold, warm colors like red.
And in case you were thinking about it, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus, and he's smoking hot. Apparently, also over the holiday season, there's a rise in folks looking on the internet for Santa Claus sexy videos.
In other words, you'll never see Santa ever again on Tumblr and Facebook. Today, we wrap up the year by looking at the big moments of 2018. Joining us are some of your favorite comedy guests, Karma Ray Gold, Matt Brown, and Brian Sweeney.
Listen as we chat about what rocked our world this year and what we are looking forward to in 2019.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Unlock a delicious world of podcasting magic and listen to thousands of amazing shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
Christmas, happy holidays. It's the end of year podcast with Feast of Fun. We are having a special show today, bringing all the way from Norway, Mark Fillion.
Hey.
And with a new name change, Karma Ray Gold.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm really good. Thanks for having me on.
So we can't say your old name anymore, officially.
Don't dead name her.
Yeah, don't dead name me.
Do you know what dead naming is?
No, but don't do it.
It's when people change their name, your old name.
Oh, yeah.
Typically, it's in reference to trans people, and I don't think that's what happened. But, like, you know what? You live your truth.
Thank you.
So when Mark was away in Alt for Norge, Brian Sweeney was actually here joining us, interviewing Bianca Del Rio, Coco Chanel, and Misunderstood.
And Scott Thompson.
But most importantly, yes. Scott Thompson.
From Kids in the Hall and yes. Voyager.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we broke the news about how his mom wanted him to date Jeri Ryan.
And since then, you basically came out as gay because you love Scott Thompson's performance as Buddy Cole so much.
Yes, since then I came out as gay.
But most importantly, a very special comedian came into our lives and does a flawless impersonation of Amanda Lepore, Matt Brown.
It is my natural speaking voice. Fuck you. From the bottom of my heart, Fausto Fernos.
So it's been a really great year with you guys because I feel like we had some really wonderful moments with three incredible comedians. And so Mark and I were thinking it would be really great to end the year by
with us instead.
With you guys instead of
the actual great comedians.
You know, bring out the hacks.
So we invited you guys to come on the podcast and talk about like news items or experiences or stuff that we talked about on the podcast that you feel like is sticking to you like a delicious meaty gravy pouring down your throat.
Well, did you guys hear Lady Gaga said 99 out of 100? Did you guys hear about that? Because it's not been talked about.
It's a score that she got on her SAT.
I believe so. That anecdote is like...
How many loads she got on the back of that bus in hers?
That anecdote is like the gay 9/11 with the amount of coverage that it got by every gay man who's just like, this is insane! Isn't this insane?
Well, it was insane. Wasn't it crazy that she would go on every single talk show and say, you know, you can be in a room and 99 people don't believe in you, but then that one person, Bradley Cooper, believes in you.
No,
and it just changes your world.
No, that's what you need to do. She did a billion press interviews. What is she supposed to do? Come up with new shit every 5 seconds?
Do bits, okay? That is what they do. She's just
you know who did new
bits.
Stuff all the time? Louis C.K., your hero.
And look what happened.
Yeah.
I think the person who actually puts a new set of comedy every single time they perform as Matt Brown.
Yeah, I never do the same shit twice. I don't believe in it. Mm-hmm. Like, it's always a
it's because your
order.
First joke it, wasn't funny enough.
It's because you got to play with them, whether it's order, whether it's content, whether it's what happened to you today or that news that's whatever going on. You just got to be fresh, got to be interesting.
You got to burn your old stuff and walk away.
So how important was Feast of Fun to you this year, Matt?
Well, it changed my life really from top to bottom. I've gotten 3 new Twitter followers and I just...
Yay, welcome!
Wow, you got 3?
I know, right? And just the inappropriate dick pics I'm getting from 58-year-old men on Instagram are just overwhelming, and I'd like to thank you two for that.
Oh,
just,
you're welcome.
Just, and it's really just, you know, Fausto Mark. But still, you know, it matters.
I'll keep them coming. I'm coming.
I just want to say, I think your favorite news item, and maybe I'm putting words into your mouth, was Aretha Franklin's funeral.
I had a 5-minute bit about that. Yeah. Oh my God.
Do you remember what you said about Madonna's eulogy at Aretha Franklin's funeral?
I just wish that if she was going to sing an Aretha Franklin song, that it wouldn't have been one that required her to sing, because Madonna should stick to her skills. And I didn't understand it. She could have done something real simple, just like think what you're trying to do to me. Something on one note, you know, something Madonna could figure out.
Then poor Ariana Grande got groped.
Well,
and she was like kind of just trying to push herself away from the
she dates a lot of rappers, she's used to it.
Yeah, and the Reverend had that amazing Taco Bell joke that he was sitting on.
See, yeah, what was the joke?
He's another guy who doesn't use the same material. He's like, I did the old. They're like, because when he goes out, people are like, do the Taco Bell stuff. And he's like, that's old. We got to talk about new shit.
Got a grande.
What's in the news today? What else? What else?
Aretha didn't like Taco Bell. Gave her the shits.
She was a Pizza Hut. Oh.
Come on, baby, and deliver me.
Y'all remember?
She probably liked the cinnamon twist.
Oh, yeah.
She was
a huge fan of Olive Garden, because, you know, she wouldn't fly, so when she'd go from Detroit to New York, she would stop in some small town in Pennsylvania and eat at the Olive Garden. Her whole bus would come along.
Hell yeah, free breadsticks.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So one big news item or podcast that we did with Karma Regold, so I'm trying to get used to saying your new name.
That's okay.
My apologies. Was that
now she can shoot a president with her 3 names.
Well, you started off the year talking about being a woman, a modern woman who embraces having wigs.
Yes, I did. And I'm wearing one now.
So how's the year been wearing these party hats?
It's taken a lot of getting used to. You know, I'll never forget what Mark said. You know, it's like beaver up here, beaver down there.
Did I say that?
Yeah, because I had told you it feels like I'm wearing a fur trapper's hat.
Beaver keeps you warm.
Dude, it totally does. I used to have to wear hats all the time because of my little bald head. So this is much better.
Well, I've been telling a lot of women like that I run into who are thinking about getting their wig for the first time, like, talk to Karma. She's the wig woman.
Yeah, talk to me. And honestly, I also take inspiration from Matt.
Oh, how sweet.
Yeah, when you were like, I think of myself as an old school French courtesan. I've got all my potions and magic tricks. I'm like, yeah, me too.
Exactly. So.
You gotta powder that wig, girl.
Get
a little sea salt if you feel like it might have a little shine, and then you can just live your whole life. Now, do you feel like, in this wig moment that you've experienced over the past year, do you feel like you've unleashed your inner drag queen?
For sure, and I'm for sure fucking a lot more.
I'm proud of you.
It's great.
Yay! Now, when you get them home, do you take the wig off and be like, now you're getting a real pussy? But do you just like... And do you take the hairpiece off your snatch, or do you leave that?
Both. I leave both on at all times.
Do you ever accidentally put one where the other one's supposed to be? And so wear like your merkin.
Just a tiny merkin up here. Like a big
one. You look like Tank Girl.
You're in a hurry to go to work.
I've never seen a pussy that couldn't use bangs. I really haven't.
Zooey Deschanel really was...
Because when he can't find the clit, it's not his fault. It's not his fault.
It's also funny because bangs look like a costume mustache. So it looks like your pussy is trying...
You want a mustache, right?
Yeah, your pussy is trying to like evade the police.
Remember those t-shirts from the 90s?
Free mustache rides.
Yeah, you should have like Groucho glasses and the mustache.
Tattoo it right
just
there.
On the labia.
Karma, you... In a podcast, we were talking about dating a guy who confessed
after he had sex with you?
Yes.
That he had murdered two men.
Three men. One was revenge because he got his friend addicted to meth, so he had to take him out.
That makes complete sense.
That's like Batman shit. That's cool. I mean, Batman wouldn't kill, of course, but revenge is cool.
Yeah, revenge is cool.
Do you think he was on
Karma's deep in her cups right now.
So, do you believe that he actually murdered these people, or do you think he was just trying to heighten your sexual arousal?
Yes. Why would he wait for after? He wanted round two?
I honestly think he's a dude with, like, an attachment disorder, and
What does that mean, a detachment disorder? I'm not up on your psycho lingo.
Like, it means he just stayed inside of her after he came.
Yeah,
and
he didn't get out. That's what he wanted to do, and I think he was just looking for, like, I think he had imprinted upon me. And
like Jacob in Twilight?
Like Jacob in Twilight, yes.
Exactly.
Right on the baby.
Yeah, he was like, you're my new home now.
Wait, did he say that?
No, but
what if he said that when he first got inside of you, and then he was like,
tell
this
me he
is
didn't
home.
Have a place to live, and hinted very strongly that he needed to live in my place.
So wait,
not creepy at all.
How'd you get him out?
No.
And does he still live with you?
What about the and when
he's in my basement.
but you killed him, so it's fine.
So I want to know if this guy look, because you guys are comparing him to actor Taylor Lautner. Is he closer in sex appeal to Taylor Lautner when he was in Twilight or much, much later?
Grown Ups 2 Taylor Lautner or now?
You know what it, because people like been sharing a photo of him, and so it says, looks like he ate Bella.
Okay, listen, I would still fuck right now Taylor Lautner, because you can just say you fuck Taylor Lautner and then lie about the year.
That's true.
I think a juicy Taylor Lautner looks sexier than Ab.
I would have fucked that Rob Kardashian way more than Skinny Rob.
For the record, I think Taylor, honey, you keep on eating, honey. You look good. Yeah.
Well, he was on Scream Queens or something. He was some just on that, something.
Yeah. He's making
recently.
Queen Scream, goddamn. Yeah.
So wait, when did he say he murdered three people? Like how?
Not Taylor Lautner.
Taylor Lautner?
Were you just done having sex and you guys were just laying there and
right,
then he's like, by the way.
Right. He did that whole eye contact thing and the whole...
Ew, gross.
How sick.
And you were like, get out of my home.
Out of my cunt.
And out of my vagina.
And he was...
Oh, the eye contact during sex he did?
I don't know.
And
my
he's
eyes
like, I
were
murdered
closed.
People.
It was after.
You're also praying the rosary. It was very complicated.
And you just squirted right when he was like, I killed a man for revenge. And you're like, finally a real man.
That's what you get for giving me meth. And he's just like, yeah.
Oh my god.
No, it was afterwards. And he was like, I just want to be honest with you because I really like you. I don't
Gross.
Want you to think the wrong thing about me, but I really like you and I want you to know I'm a good person. And I'm like,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you're done talking
I'm
about
done
it.
I'm done talking about
yeah,
it.
You can see how excited everybody got. It was like, three men murdered. And he came inside me, too.
What it was so cute.
What did he think about the wig?
Oh, he didn't know. I didn't tell him.
Oh, so you both had secrets.
Right.
And perhaps yours was even darker.
No, so this wig thing is like a need-to-know basis. Okay. And like,
are you ever worried that they're going to rip it off during sex
or
anything?
Yeah, all the time. I'm like, don't touch my hair. Okay. That's just like blanket statement.
Okay. So you're wearing like a motorcycle helmet.
Yeah.
So do you like double-sided tape? Do you pin it in? Because there's going to be some movement.
Double-sided tape.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because like if you're riding it for real, like you better be prepared for some movement. It's going to get tussled.
Yeah. I just... Mm-hmm. So a hand on the head is okay.
Yeah.
And then like from the back, you can grab it from the back.
Uh-huh.
But top sides, no.
Well, that's how you let people know that they're doing a good job during sex is by patting them on the head.
And saying, good girl. Yes. And then giving them a treat.
Right, that's true.
Yeah,
that's not true.
We all like a bone to chew on.
Yeah.
I'm daddy's little girl.
That's what I say.
I stole your line.
How dare you?
And then Brian put out, I guess, with the folks of The Onion, was able to participate in a second book about Elon Musk, Tesla founder, and is he still the CEO?
No, he got thrown out because he's insane.
And the book's called Welcome to the Future, Which is Mine, by definitely not Elon Musk.
Yes. Yes, that's out. The audiobook is read by famed comedian James Adomian.
A gay comedian, James Adomian.
Yes.
We need, like, a gay bill.
And super hot.
I don't know about all that. He's real hot. Yeah, that's nice.
And he was in Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay. So.
Mm-hmm. Is that actually a movie?
Yes. It's the second Harold and Kumar trilogy. No, God damn it.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I don't know.
First they went to White Castle, then they went to Guantanamo Bay.
It's a natural progression.
Mark actually saw all the Harold and Kumar movies. He was just too stoned to remember what happened.
And what was your boy's name? Who was in the Christmas one?
Esteban Cruz.
Yeah. He's like, my eyes all fucked
Esteban
up.
Esteban and Andres Cruz.
Yeah.
Hey, son, fix the tree. I can't, pa. My eyes all fucked up.
Deal.
Can we just talk about your Spanish accent for 3 seconds, Mark? Like, I love how you speak Spanish for 45 seconds a day. Like, you're like, that's as much Rosetta Stone as you give a fuck about, and I'm proud of you.
Pero yo hablo mucho español.
Oh, realmente.
¿Dónde está?
Vamos a aprender mucho sobre
mi bueno.
Mi esposo es de Puerto Rico. Entonces, cuando quiero hablar de alguien, y no quiero que
el baño es bueno.
So what Mark is trying to say is this is actually true. When if you appear to not speak Spanish because you look like a white person or a black person who sounds like they don't speak Spanish, Latinos will speak in front of you.
Oh yeah,
and say usually unkind things.
Oh yeah, esa morenita and all that. Oh,
esa morenita es una pendeja.
Spanish
se me colgó al frente y me llevó el lugar en la línea.
Which is why
it's like, mi muchacha, usted está hablando de mí. Mm-hmm. You talking about me? Oh, this is going to get real serious. Because, you know, a lot of people of color, sometimes by other Latinos, they don't read.
Yeah.
And so if the person's trying to, like, talk about the person, it's usually, you know, in checkout lines.
Yeah.
Latinos don't read? Is that what you said?
Well, it's that if the person doesn't strike as... If an African-American person doesn't look like they speak Spanish, and a lot of times they do. The person gets, you know, basically their foot handed
because
in the back of the mouth.
Because black and Latino people hang out a lot, so a lot of us learn Spanish by accident. Yeah. And also,
in the barrio.
Barrio.
Whatever.
And also, a lot of Dominican people look black to an American eye, or to a Mexican American eye, or Puerto Rican American eye, and so you will just not think, and then like, oh, realmente, puede decirlo en otra vez? And then, like, it's all taken care of, and you fight in the parking lot.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's real fun.
And we're drinking tequila.
Yeah, right baby. Now, well, so. I'm not, but there's cocktails being spread right now.
Making spirits bright.
Mark, you are a polyglot. So a polyglot is somebody who speaks multiple languages.
Poly slut.
And and that was kind of put to the test, your knowledge of language and culture and ability to memorize things at Alt for Norga this year.
Yes, it was. Well, I learned Spanish and French in like high school and college, and I traveled around, so I got to use some of those languages. And then I was also like tested on my Norwegian. Now I went to Norway. Knowing very little Norwegian. And it's kind of hard when you first kind of come to it, but after I've been studying since I've come off the show, I'm just like, this isn't so hard. If I had only just studied for a few years before I got on the show, I would have done so much better.
Would you say $50,000 better?
Probably $50,000 better. Maybe. I don't know. But the thing is like, you know, I didn't make it to the finals, so I don't know what the finals would have been. You know what I mean?
They might have changed the challenge.
They may have changed the challenge, depending. So...
They'd be like, the challenge is to do a podcast.
Oh my God, wouldn't that have been fun?
And you'd be like,
In Norwegian.
And you're like, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Yeah, Norwegians are kind of awkward when they're talking to strangers. They don't really they're very reserved, very shy.
What do you think, like, was the biggest curiosity or surprise that you had about being on that show? Like, in terms of, like, what people are asking you about. Like, who was a bitch, or, you know, did you sleep with anybody?
No, I was just surprised, like, of all the little things that that we had growing up, and not really realizing it was in Norwegian, that we would open our gifts on Christmas Eve. I didn't realize that was necessarily, like, a Norwegian thing. And then, you know, that some of the foods we ate, or some of the traditions that we had, was very Norwegian.
For me, the biggest challenge this year was definitely facing cancer.
Aww.
And, you know, for me, it wasn't not necessarily...
Here we go.
Well, it was not necessarily the... To me, and I've since then talked to a lot of other people about it, is like, when your mortality is kind of up in your face, you don't really worry too much about it.
Yeah.
But everybody else is like, you can see the blood leaving their faces, you know? And to me, I'll never forget just telling Mark... that the biopsy was positive from the doctor and the reaction
you
had.
Yeah, I was shaking.
Yeah, you barely were able to run to the airport to go to Norway.
Actually a concern, like, you know.
It was a concern. Yeah. I was just like, I didn't want to, you know, I was afraid something bad would happen, and it was also like, I didn't want to be the, you know, the guy who ditched his husband to go to Norway who had cancer. But so then
but
I
at
got,
the same time, I did want to be that guy?
No, I didn't want to be that
he
guy.
Was
but
dancing
then,
for
but
Jordan.
Then I got bit by a dog 2 days before I left,
oh, right.
And my wound was way worse that than was... his wound, because his wound, they actually got to sew up. I had an open wound from the beginning of May to the end of August. So instead of being the guy who ditched his husband who had cancer, I was the dude with the dog bite.
Okay, so between dog bites and cancer, which do you think is, like, most, like, you know, life-affecting? Just curiosity. Just curiosity.
Well, during a full moon, Mark does get a little hairy.
Okay, can I ask you a real serious question
yes,
here for a second?
Okay. I'm serious.
As gay men of, like, who have only pretty much been around, like, post-AIDS, when we're constantly told that, like, by straight people and by other people that, like, oh, you're gonna have sex and you're gonna get a disease that's gonna kill you, your death is always in the back of your head on some level. So instead
absolutely.
Were you kind of prepared?
Yeah, I was totally prepared. In fact, you know, part of it is like I was able to really deal with my father's death well, too, because throughout my life as a child, he would talk about his death in graphic detail. Mm-hmm. So
how he was planning it or like,
no,
did you have a suicidal man for 20 years? Or
no. He was not suicidal.
It was like Coco. Okay.
Very Chris Benoit.
Well, Fausto's dad was like 50 years old when Fausto was born.
Ooh. So he would talk about like how, because he was into like transcendental meditation. He believed that, there were alien spirits that lived in Mars and had a university, and
did
he was into
UFOs
and all sorts of, you know, far out, you know, he was not a flat earther. He was not an anti-vaxxer, but
he just should have been on meds.
You know, there was a lot of crazy ideas that my dad was really into. And,
but don't you think if he had lived, he would have been these things? He would have been anti-vaxxer.
No. My dad was very liberal, and he was involved
with
the
MSD. You can be flat earth and liberal.
Yeah.
No, he was also kind of,
he was into science.
He was an architect.
Yeah. It was a weird paradox. If it had to do with like spirituality, it was like the weirdest faith he could find.
Okay.
Well, without signing over his money.
Martin, his parents were kind of like occultists because like his brothers and sisters, his sisters are like named Star, Moon.
Iris.
You know, which is like rainbow.
Estrella is star. Iris.
Rainbow,
Luz is light. So, you know, there's some really fun, interesting people in my family history.
But that's also just kind of common, I find, in Latino culture, to just, like, have, like, kind of far-out names.
Yeah, you guys are weird.
Yeah.
But to me, the unexpected surprise was the Hamburger Mary twins did this reality TV show that Mark and I were supposed to be guest judges on, wearing plaid as bears in the woods. And it was Camp Wanakiki, and so I took it literally. I dressed up as a bear ballerina and showed up and was able to mentor six drag queens for an entire week.
Oh, and I was unable to do it because I was filming my own reality TV show.
But I gotta tell you, you know, it was a bubble of magic and wonder and joy being there. And it was also really hard to send queens home. And, you know, I felt like I would have six unbelievable drag queen friends for the rest of my life from that experience. But just like real summer camp, once it was over, they were like, fuck you. A lot
not
of it was they were
Kevy.
Just...
Kevy?
Not except for Kevy, but, you know... And Kevy and I were, you know, friends before that started happening, and certainly Muffy Fishbasket. But I was, you know...
Jesus.
How is that a real fucking name?
Can
we just pause?
Muffy Fishbasket.
Muffy Fishbasket.
What kind of British yeast infection is that?
I am...
You know, some grew up on a houseboat.
And some people say that drag is misogynist. That's crazy.
There was no solid ground anywhere near her. That's not someone with a sturdy foundation in the slightest, Muffy Fishbasket. God damn.
Well, and certainly, you won't even know the names of some of the other contestants. One is the name Vajayjay Slappin' Turtle.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I would say, like, Sylvia.
God damn,
Sylvia
drag
Dix.
And drag queens always go for just the first thing. Like, they've never been like, let's take another pass at this. They're all like, that's good enough.
I like Stinky Cup McGee. I just think it really adds a lot to the ambiance.
Well, I think a lot of drag queen names, usually that coined when they're drunk and they're, you know, wearing their dick tucked between their pantyhose and their legs, you know, so.
No, the dick is between the cheeks. Get real. It's up there.
You're not thinking clearly when you're in a lot of pain and you're, you know, the alcohol's running through your body.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the name gets there and they're like, oh, okay, I'll be Muffy Fishbasket. Fine. You know, what?
I love it. That's hilarious.
Excuse me, Miss Fishbasket.
But yeah, some drag queens do get into big fights because they feel like their names are misogynistic. Other drag queens find their names are misogynistic.
What, Fishbasket? How could that ever be?
Or problematic in one way, and so they start getting into all kinds of fight on social media. And I'm just like, one of my, you know, major issues or ideas of 2018 is just wanting to have people, if you have a conflict with another person that you personally know, is like find a way to talk to that person in a way that you have a solution.
Or you could find a way to not take an event in your life where you get paid in dirty dollar bills that you pick up off the floor quite so seriously. I think that could be another way to live. Maybe go to therapy. Maybe help somebody. Maybe donate to a charity. Maybe think about someone other than yourself for 3 minutes out of the day. Just a thought. Just a thought.
But aren't we all, in a way, picking up dirty dollar bills off the floor? Thank you.
Not literally, baby. Capitalism hasn't fucked me that hard yet.
You're young yet.
I'm working on it.
So for you guys, like, what was kind of a major, you know, turning point or event or idea that popped in your head this past year?
I don't know. The major thing for me this year is finally getting on antidepressants. It's so nice.
Really? Congratulations.
It is so nice to, like, not be medicating with, like, weed and booze and just, like, have, like, you know, your
that
brain chemistry.
That sounds terrible.
I know, right? It's just so nice, like, have your brain chemistry do what you need it to do and, like, be able to get up in the morning and not have everything hurt or be a bad idea.
So the weed and booze is just fun. You're not cutting it out.
So expensive. Okay, yes. Like $400 a month of just stupidity.
Well, you
and it's
need
just
to
like, no.
Just yeah. inhale gas fumes from the stove.
I do not know enough people who go to festivals for me to be able to get nitrous like that.
Mark knows all these people. He's a real dirtbag.
What? That was like my life moment. That
yeah.
This year.
You have a lot of, I agree with Matt. Being on antidepressants was a big, I'm glad.
What about you? For you, Mark, what was sort of a big moment in 2018 for you, besides Alt for Norga?
Well, coming back home to my beautiful husband and my wonderful
besides
dog.
Besides Alt for Norga.
You know, it really kind of dominated the year in so many respects.
Yeah.
Also, another highlight was for me is, you know, when I was in high school, I had a priest who stalked me. And,
you
know.
You?
Well, thank you. Thank you. And he kind of.
That
like,
was this year?
No.
You hung bastard.
I looked like shit for 17.
And so this year, though, the diocese of my where I went to school, the Diocese of Erie issued a list of all the priests who have been accused of sexual crimes, and he was at the very top of the list. So it was very nice to see that people were onto him.
That's nice for you too.
Celebrity
you got the
status.
Best.
Yeah. So,
well, it's because his name started with an A, and that's why he was at the top of the list. But you know,
we can edit
part
that
of me
out.
Is like I really
so
kind
if
of
you're
feel
gonna
like
molest children. Make sure your first and last name is Zach. Zechariah.
Mark was molested by the Beatles.
Well, I wasn't
pedophiles.
Molested, I just to be clarified, is that, but he was, you know, he targeted me and other students picked it. So I became a center of bullying for, like, some of these people because they could see that this priest had an interest in me. So they're like, what's up with that? You know, he must be gay.
So do you think the priest had, like, a picture of you on his piano and would sing, "The Man That Got Away"?
I did leave the school because I felt like that was the only option. And I think that, you know, when people talk about rape culture, you know, people are like, oh, it doesn't exist. And like, I can certainly verify that it does exist because we all knew that he was a pedophile, but we didn't think there was anything we could do about it. And I think that nowadays people are having an understanding is like there's something you can do about it. And I wish I'd been able to or had the tools to talk to adults about it at the time.
I think the song he was singing is "Let's Hear It for the Boy."
Sisters are doing it for themselves.
Yeah.
It could be anything.
He also sang that old standard, "I Wish I Could Rape Mark's Mouth." Remember that? That was
Ella Fitzgerald sang that.
Yeah. He sang that at the school talent show, and that's when everyone was like, wait a minute.
This could be something.
I mean, Amazing Grace.
Well, that priest actually wrote the lyrics to Willem's hit, "Thick Thighs Make a Dick Rise."
Oh, wow.
So really, it all comes around.
I hear he wrote the songbook, but not the actual story.
Brian, you actually got to interview three drag queens on the podcast this year. Coco Chanel, brought a bag of pink Starbursts. Misunderstood, who talked about racist costumes and drag queens.
And drag culture in the early 90s.
In the early 90s. And Bianca Del Rio, who has a new book.
Yes.
So, generally speaking, like, what
and
was
I
the
met
stand-up?
The Peaches Christ.
Oh, you did? That's right. And that was the highlight of the moment.
And Hairspray's own
Mink stole.
Mink stole.
Wow.
Yeah, and they made out, and
ooh,
she just like almost broke up with her boyfriend. It was quite a, you know.
Yes.
Can I ask you one question?
Nihat was mad.
I need to know one thing about the Bianca interview. Okay. What do those lip injections look like in person?
Oh,
it looks real. It looks like a real one.
You know, over the phone.
But you could hear them.
Oh.
It sounded like when a basketball's slowly leaking air.
Well, she's got money, so you know she probably went to the best. She's not a back alley pumper.
You know, when you just get a bunch put in because you have busy shit to do and you're on tour, so you just like say make it last for 4 months and they're out for a foot. Yeah.
It was like right before Bianca said that that drag queen on RuPaul's Drag Race only talked about being raped so that she could garner sympathy.
Oh, that's right. That was Blair St. Clair.
Yeah, and then
did her mom leave her at a bus stop too?
Perhaps.
Right afterwards.
Yeah. We need to get Blair St. Clair on the.
She's been on the podcast this past year, too.
We need to get her and Muffy Fish Basket together.
They've all done it.
The fans.
That's why I'm bringing up their names. Otherwise, it's
so.
Like,
wait, what did I learn from drag queens? Or what?
Yeah,
you,
I think, you know, in terms of. I think it felt like.
Why did you make that face, Brian? What did I learn from drag queens?
I think I learned everything from RuPaul's amazing book called There's Barely Any Words in this called 42 words every 100 pages.
I think it's in right there.
Pictures of me.
Yeah.
What's the book? It's called Rue
Guru.
Yeah. Guru.
That thing had to
be Jane Fonda. The forward actually has more words than
open it up to any page and just read the three sentences.
Yeah,
there's no sentence on this page. Okay, there we go.
Too many.
You're actually stronger than you allow yourself to be.
Deep.
The struggle is real, Henny. Life is too short to be concerned with what other people think. This is her in a picture of her with her hair and makeup that probably took 17 hours to get done.
Is this supposed to inspire mentally disabled 11-year-olds? I believe
so. Oh, yeah, it says this book is for mentally disabled.
Trixie Mattel says that, 98% of drag fans are white women with, what did she say? White women
on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
No, with severe trauma, who have experienced severe trauma in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Well, it is like the Bachelorette
guy who killed people.
Karma and I talk all the time about dressing up in drag and having a girl party and putting on makeup on. For you, like Karma, you actually find that drag is kind of empowering for you.
I do. And like, I know I'm like pretty toned down, but like honestly,
this is your dress down look.
Yeah, this is my dress. This is my dress down, like, yeah. IRL drag. Like, I've got my wig, I got my dress on, I got my boobs out, I got my eyes on.
Yeah. Like, come here, baby.
This is me.
Gold star, my ass buster.
Wait, this is you with your boobs out right now?
This is the boobs
they're
up.
Covered.
Boobs
this is the boobs
up.
Oh, boobs up. I thought you said out.
Remember, guys, I have the biggest boobs in the room.
Yes, you do. They're in your pants on the back side, but it doesn't matter.
But the drag, Bianca... When she said that, or he, when Bianca said that they write a lot, that was interesting, I guess.
Surprising and is your facial expression.
Yeah. Well, it was because like, my problem with drag is how lazy it is.
Oh, and, can I get
that? And that's actually, like, that is, and I know, like, I that's a general brush or whatever, wide brush to paint with, but... It is true, I
she
think.
She is like a comic who does 90 minutes at a theater, though.
Yes, but, and then, like, I saw, like, oh, you should, like, her infamous takedown of someone, and it was just her saying that Selena should die or something.
Selena's
and it's just
dead.
Yeah, and it's just like,
well, no.
Oh,
so
that was classic.
That
come
was
on.
A great moment. So what it was is this Latino guy comes up to Bianca Del Rio.
Like, Bianca's not like Bianca's family isn't from Honduras and Cuba, by the way. Like
she's Latina. Yeah,
she's Latina as a guest.
But I think in the mind of the audience member, he didn't associate Del Rio.
He was drunk off his ass.
He was drunk off his ass. So he goes, and she's, you know. Her idea is to find that pejorative, that visceral moment in an audience member and, you know, insult them in a way that sort of celebrates their struggle and at the same time ridicules it too.
Oh yeah.
And that's what's great about drag, is that it's sort of lifting up things that sometimes really oppress us. It's about the power of comedy to allow us to transcend pain and suffering,
because you got to talk about it.
Yeah. And so Bianca Del Rio sort of making fun of, you know, or targeting some Latino person in the audience, and then this other Latino guy comes up and he goes, "Hey, Bianca Del Rio, I just want you to know the Latino community pays your motherfucking bills," and slaps her in the hand.
Oh, yeah, that was it. Because
and she says, "You know what? You know what? I wish the Latino community would pay their own motherfucking bills."
Yeah, I think, but like, that's my problem, good. Then it just became a thing of like, you're a loser because you work in a drive-thru.
No, like, no, which so, like, is if you just want to talk in a microphone, do it at your goddamn drive-thru window.
Yeah, and but then she kept going back to, you work in a drive-thru, which is obviously
just one more joke.
It's gross and classist.
Put your order in.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, that's just such a...
At least she didn't say, "I don't come to your work and slap dicks out of your mouth."
Like that old joke from 1929.
Yeah, but the drive-thru thing is like, you work at McDonald's, you're a loser.
I've seen a lot of stand-up comedians struggle with hecklers, and it's rare to see a heckler get up onto the stage, grab the microphone from the comedian, and say some things that are very... you know, strong and accusatory.
Oh, yeah.
And racism is a real thing, and we need to take racism seriously. At the same time...
At a gay bar at a comedy show.
At a gay bar at a comedy show. So, you know, I think it was an extremely important moment in the history of drag and in Bianca Del Rio's career, because it made her into a superstar. And that's why she's packing comedy houses for mostly theaters. With mostly straight audiences worldwide. She's a finance, like, this is, you know, better for worse, love it or hate it, this is the future of comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
aren't you hurt?
Quit today. Aren't you hurt? Now, something I do want to say while we're on the topic of this, I fucking hate when I see audience members or people out there being like, "We pay your bills, like, you need us." Motherfucker, my talent pays my bills. Someone else would come if you weren't in that seat. Suck my dick from the back. I hate that
Well,
shit.
Being an entertainer is a customer service job. And if you don't enjoy waiting tables or dealing with angry customers who return their underwear after they wore it at the you know, clothing store you work at, you're not going to enjoy being an artist. If you think that being an artist is being closer to being royalty, it's not.
I genuinely feel like when you get to that point, they come to see you. You don't go there to perform, because you'd be doing it wherever. At that point, you would do it for fucking free. You don't care. They come to see you. So if you're not happy, fucking walk out and take your $70 ticket price out with you.
Matt, I will tell you right now, and I'll tell this to all the drag queens, if you do not enjoy the thought of 500 people paying $75 to have 2 minutes of undivided attention from you, one after another, after another, after another, after another, this is not the path for you.
Yeah, no, if you can't do a meet and greet, don't do a drag queen, which is why I'm not putting on a dress. Don't touch me, don't talk to me.
But you'd be so pretty, Matt.
I'm already pretty. You're already hard and have your hand on my thigh. We can just tell the truth here, goddamn it.
All of those things are true. You're already pretty and you would be so pretty. Oh, my God. Yeah. It's like a...
Well, no, after me, of course.
The idea of a meet and greet makes me want to vomit. Does that excite you?
I love... And Mark and I have actually done this. We've met a lot of the listeners of the podcast, and they've formed a line, and we've had a photo and stuff. What was your experience like the first time you had fans lining up?
I was really surprised. I didn't quite know what to do, because I was just, we were like, we didn't expect all those people to turn out. It was the early days of podcasting.
Yeah.
And it was really just, I think YouTube was probably only like 8 or 9 months old, so there wasn't really that many YouTube stars, and podcasting was where it was at. And, you know, going to New York and going to Los Angeles and hundreds of people showing up, I was just like, I don't know, we didn't know that you were supposed to kind of stand there and have a line, but a line just kind of naturally formed.
Well, as
but per, were you per, like per, mad about it? Like, were you like, "Oh my God, I have to talk to these people"?
Mark was throwing chairs.
Oh, I hide from the audience after the show. I don't want to talk to you. I just said everything I say to strangers. Back the fuck up. I don't want to hug you. I don't know you.
I'm weird. No. It's like the audience will meet me and get really, really used to being around me, to the point that when I go perform, they're just kind of like, "Is the show starting?"
being a performer is, there's a OCD-ness to it, especially stand-up.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're what you're trying to do is control everything, and you're trying to control the situation and how you talk and who gets to talk, and so like when you're allowed to talk to the audience, certain people can talk back and all that shit. But then when you leave the stage and that microphone, it becomes so odd. And it's impossible to know what to say for a lot of people. People come and they're like, "You were really great," and you're like, "Oh, thanks." And then like you don't know what to say because you have nothing like prepared, and it's just like, what else am I supposed to do? And
give them your contact info.
Well, yes, say, you can do that.
Here's my number. I'm gonna text you dick pics. Oh, watch out.
That is true.
But see, Brian likes to text himself his own dick pics.
Yes. Okay.
It's a long form mirror, but it works. You know,
and it made me see that Peaches Christ is very good. Like, she's,
that's a businesswoman.
Mm-hmm. She's, yeah, and she, her type of drag, I really like the because it isn't like where the person that isn't Peaches Christ, like her secret identity as a dude, whatever, and Peaches Christ like mold into one another. And when Peaches is like telling stories about like shit she loves and things that she's really into, it's also about like her actual, like she doesn't really need the Peaches character.
Yeah,
because like when she makes like a joke about her boob sweat or whatever, it's like, it's not necessarily like needed. Like, it's fine. I'm not saying like it's bad, but I am saying like she herself is very interesting. And
I feel
it's
like
different.
As a stand up, you kind of see like the makeup and all the extra stuff, since we're so used to going bare and it just being us. It's like you kind of see it as a prop almost, like this extra thing.
And yes, and I think it's also because you kind of want to know real takes or like views on things, as opposed to, especially like with podcasting and all this stuff, it really is a thing where like you kind of want to know, and Twitter and all these things, what the actual person thinks about something, as opposed to just nonstop ridiculousness and jokes and falling down or whatever you do as a silly person. And then so like it's interesting to find out, you know, the actual person. So like when they can talk about things that they actually like love, that isn't like, isn't it amazing that like Christina not, like, Aguilera part of, like, or whatever. Or yeah, like just like bullshitty kind of surface stuff that is just like anyone could have said this. I think that, so like it's really cool to have like Peaches when she was with Mink Stole and going through all the things with her like love of John Waters and things, and it wasn't about necessarily making the entire audience feel cool about or like me too type of thing, even though everyone was with that.
Yeah.
And so like, but it became like a really like cool thing. And it's the same thing with like the Peaches horror movies and shit like that.
Well, her episode of Cooking with Drag Queens is about 3/4 done. And certainly from speaking to the editor and seeing some rough cuts, it's probably going to be the best episode we've ever done.
Beautiful. Oh, really?
Yeah. And actually probably the best, you know, Peaches has been a lot of amazing projects, but this is actually going to be something really that I hope, you know, outlasts us all in some regards. And, you know, Peaches is a really important person for us in the podcast because she's somebody who, like you guys, have been with us for so long and
she's been
doing
with
a show
for so long.
Yeah,
she's,
you know,
historic,
and so
she's a legend.
But I think, you know, in terms of like this year, Mark and I sort of came to the realization that for a lot of the things that we do in the podcast, we have an opportunity to some regard to have some really like big A-list entertainers. But the most important thing in the podcast is our friendships with people like you guys. And I think in terms of the connection that we have with the guest, whether it's on Cooking with Drag Queens or Feast of Fun, it really relies tremendously on us being friends.
And people will tune in for like some of the big names and stuff like that. And you know, people will come by and like listen to that show because they're interested in that person. But the people that support us, the people that love us, they do it not just for Fausto and I, but they love it because they love hearing Karma on the show, they love hearing Brian on the show, and they love hearing you on the show. You know, it's,
who's
it's,
you?
Matt Brown.
You, the
Matt
audience.
Brown, at Matt Brown Comic on Twitter and Instagram. And that's who, goddammit.
And you, I guess.
I want a fourth Twitter follower, cocksuckers. You hear me? Four.
Well, Brian's been doing the podcast almost for a decade now.
Right? Brian, when did you come into our lives? 8 years ago? 9 years ago?
No.
I don't know. It was like 2011 or 12.
I know that we did a podcast when Mitt Romney was elected.
Oh, shit.
Remember her? Because we were making He's Bane hot. Jokes because of really? Bane Capital and oh, Dark Knight Rises. Shit.
It's been a while.
Carmen and I would both let Mitt Romney fuck raw. I would just like to make that statement recorded.
Brian was on the podcast 1,000 podcasts ago.
Wow. 1507. Oh, wait, no, 1490.
Because you're like at 2600 now, right?
And I had a beard. I did have a beard.
You didn't have a beard when we first met you. Did you?
Yeah,
I guess you did. Same beard.
But when we first met you, you didn't have it. Right?
I did.
But there was a period in time when you didn't have a beard, though.
No, there wasn't. Well, like when I was a kid.
I've always had a beard.
I was born. Life?
Yes.
What?
That's it.
Mark,
this is my one.
Did you want to? Did you do some internet news and stuff like that? You're like Mark's kind of like looking at porn while we're doing this podcast.
What about
just Facebook?
What about karma?
So it's the.
There's not much.
Oh,
so. The holidays are upon us. Christmas is here, and surprisingly enough, you know, Brian sent us an article on people searching for porn over the holidays, and there was an actual spike in people looking for Santa Claus and Christmas-related porn. Mm-hmm. There's a
yum.
Yes. There's a 447% increase in people looking for some kind of Christmas-related porn around Christmas.
But
surprisingly,
that is,
they don't look for it in July.
Yeah, that I mean, it would be weird if it's May and it's. Like, you know, everyone's looking at this reindeer sex stuff.
But not many people watch actual porn on Christmas. Like, in the UK, it's down 27%. Mm. You know, people look for naughty Santa, sexy Santa. Old women will look for, like, old Santa Claus.
I wonder if...
Do you
like,
want to know there's a study that's been done where men are more attractive wearing, like, bright red... If only during like the winter months.
What do you think?
Regardless of
I'm wearing bright red
religion, faith background, like in terms of like appearance and masculinity and mm-hmm. stuff.
Oh, red. Yes.
Yeah.
Red is a sex color.
Yeah.
It makes women want to have sex with you.
Yes. And that's men, why it's I called Jismus.
I thought it was
it's because
XMS.
They know that you're not afraid to get your red wings. Mm. Now, does anyone here remember the Golden Girls episode where Blanche, like the entire storyline was Blanche had a fetish for Santa and she was getting chased around the house by the small Santa intermittently throughout the episode?
No.
Y'all need to pay closer attention to season 6. Y'all, listen, the end of the show is
the
fun
part
of the show. No, I'm just making it up. It was near the end of the show. Season 5, 6, 7.
Because the thing about it is if you make a claim on the internet, somebody will correct you.
Yeah, somebody's Googling it right now. So the BBC interviewed Clarissa Bloom to talk about like why people are into it, and they think that she said that Santa is actually quite a dominant character who will either reward you for being a good boy or girl, or will punish you for being bad, which can play into a desire for control and submission.
It's
tapping into your childhood wants and needs.
And daddy, and it says it's Freudian because Santa's a daddy figure.
He's a generous character that gives you gifts and makes you smile, bringing joy to the world, and whoever is never portrayed in an aggressive manner.
I think
Lady Bunny's Santa's blowing me video.
So I looked at some of the Santa porn just to kind of see what was out there, and of course I looked.
Of course you did.
And it was a lot of guys wearing Santa hats, blowing each other. There was like an older fat guy, and he's just kind of like stroking his dick. And then there was one that was in French, and it was like some dude dressed in Santa outfits knocking on some other dude's window, and he's like, "Yeah, come on." And he's in the bedroom, and so he kind of like wakes this guy up, and the guy's like half asleep. He's supposed to be straight. And he's just like, "Oh, all right, I'll suck your dick," and starts sucking on Santa's dick, and then gets fucked.
Oh, how sweet. Make my wish come true. All I want for Christmas is to blow you.
An anal.
Yeah. I think Mariah Carey thought Tommy Mottola was Santa. That's why she married him.
He wants you to stuff your goose with lots of pudding.
Oh.
You want you to suck your candy cane. Oh. This is one gift you don't need to unwrap, honey.
You might want to wrap it up in a condom, though.
Nah.
You know, all around the world, they have different Christmas traditions.
Are you playing Santa Claus porn right now, Brian?
It's called Santa Gave Me Anal for Christmas.
Let me see.
I don't see the Christmas in this. I just
Where's
see
Santa.
Where's Santa?
Santa, baby.
Are you comfortable with this, Karma?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the Christmas tree.
Karma's the one who should drive the bus.
She's like, yeah, Santa, give it to me.
She just shoved me aside so you could get a better view. Mm-hmm. Jesus, Karma. Watch yourself.
That guy was shooting boner snowflakes.
You're wearing red, Faustel.
It's like she's a one-horse open sleigh.
Well, is it just me, or does the fake come and pouring kind of look like fake snow? Like, it's all connected, you know? It's all connected.
Fake come? What?
I've seen fake come. Like, when it's been too long and the guys can't nut, and so it looks like French vanilla yogurt just goes across the screen.
There's also...
it doesn't quite, like, melt right.
Yeah. But there's also a lot of... melt. There's also...
What's the melting point of come?
37 degrees
69
Celsius.
69 degrees. There's also, like, some porn that just have fake dicks shooting fake come, and it's just, like, supposed to be, like, because it's just, like, the more copious amounts of stuff that looks like cum is really hot.
Jizz?
Yeah, but it's not real jizz. And it's not even a real dick.
What are you, fake dicks shooting lots of cum?
I guess. Giant cum shots? I don't know.
Okay. I like it when they come in. I like it when they come into like glasses of water, and because then it's like the jizz comes out like it almost looks like slow motion.
Oh yes, you sent me that. Yeah, you sent me
that. Then they drink the glass afterwards.
I don't want to know who didn't hurt you if the priest did. Like there's something fucked up in that history, baby, and I do not want details, and neither does your therapist. We're just moving.
I mean,
right
I don't watch it that often, but I've seen it in the past, and I just kind of giggle over it.
Jewish.
You guys
want to
know what Mark's really into? That actually is. Grotesque and
Educate
disgusting.
Us all.
I already know. I know.
Let's I want to hear what Karma thinks.
I want to hear from each of you.
Rosebud.
Wait, save Karma for last. No, wait. Don't do it.
I won't.
Wait. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, Matt, what do you think Mark is into that is disgusting and gross?
I have a feeling you just like a gaping asshole just for like comfort reasons, you know?
True
just,
or false?
Like, I just feel like you like something that's on the
false.
Outside.
Okay.
Where's the
Brian? You're not afraid of outsides that are inside.
rose budding? I don't know what you
it's
like.
Rose budding.
Docking?
I don't know.
That's wrong. Karma knows Mark better as much as I do. Karma,
it's
you
not
tell
a
them.
Sexual thing. Well, maybe it's psychosexual.
I totally think it's sexual.
Space
pimple popping.
Everybody loves pimple popping.
Okay, but
not me.
Does your dick get hard about it?
No.
Okay, then what's the connection, Fausto?
I think it does a little bit.
I think there's a little catharsis to it.
He's
oh,
too
yeah.
skinny to be Santa. Hell no.
Oh my God, she's dressed like an elf.
Oh yeah, because they all work at
mind,
the mall.
I wouldn't mind that North Pole.
Skinny to be Santa.
Why is his dick so much fatter at the tip?
I know, it's real fat.
Because you know that doesn't feel good going in. It's like a, yeah. And it's like you can't.
Circumcised. Remind the listeners that this porn moment was brought to you by you.
There's also, thank you. There's a
this made this happen because you guys made it happen. Just so you know,
thank you.
You are the secret ingredient to Feast of Fun. We would not be here for now our 15th season.
Wow.
Coming up next year.
So it happens close to the week after Glitter Day, which is the second Saturday in January. It's a fabulous holiday. It's like Kwanzaa, but you just do whatever the fuck you want. Like Kwanzaa!
Yeah, basically. You put on a dashiki and light candles backwards because you feel like it.
Yeah, it's like, you know what the candles and the Kwanzaa menorah represent?
I have no idea. I'm only half black. I don't have to know everything.
Well, let me quiz you. What do you think the big black candle, because there's like three red
I'm gonna
ones.
I'm going to sit on it and call
three
it
three green ones, and then one big black candle in the middle.
I don't know. I just know that Jewish men love black girls.
It represents
girls, so
Africa.
Africa. Oh, God, I love Nigerian Africa. Men so much. Mm. Oh, you have no idea. Nigeria and Kenya. Like, I'm ready to get you a green card.
Speaking of sexy, sexy men of color, the Disney just released the previews to the
Disney's
live action. Aladdin.
Ooh.
With Will Smith, and everyone's kind of like making it.
Will Smith is an Arab.
As the genie, but
okay.
The guy who's playing Jafar, everyone's like, hubba hubba.
He's super hot.
Ooh, let's see.
Are they casting actual Middle Eastern people to play all of this?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Because sometimes it's just like if you're light skinned black, they'll just throw you in anywhere and just be like, you're from Egypt and Puerto Rico. And like,
hey, a job's a job.
Just show it to her. There he is. He's got a body.
Shit.
Yes, Jafar.
Yeah, but
honey.
That's not him as Jafar. That's just him in general.
It's shirtless. The actor
he's
who's
just a hot. Human.
What's the name of the actor?
This is what everyone's going crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
Dumb. Those other pictures were way better.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with Jafar. I mean, it's him.
It's
but
just him being hot.
Yeah. I bet he gets his own song this time.
He looks like Aqua. He did get his own song. He got many.
Can you sing
so
the song?
Ali turns out to be merely Aladdin. Just a calm need I go on, take it from me. His personality flaws give me adequate cause to send him packing on a one-way trip so his prospects take a terminal dip. His assets frozen, the venue chosen is the edge of the earth. Whoopee! So long! Experience Ali.
Brian, you should just play the role of Jafar.
This is why we keep straight men around to play the villain.
There's three gay guys in the room. Maybe four.
One woman who's just friendly and available.
And none of them knew the lines to a Broadway musical.
But Brian does.
It's not Broadway. It's a Disney show.
It also is a Broadway musical.
But that's not how I fucking know it. I know it because it was a Disney
movie. You know
it because
your girlfriend had kids and the kids all want to watch a lot.
No, they actually, no.
That's way too old for them.
Prince Ali. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming together with us and enjoying some Christmas cookies, some coquito.
Before you say another word, Javert. There's my Broadway musical.
Yeah, because Brian loves to sing Les Mis.
One more day.
What's you guys' New Year's resolutions for 2019?
Fuck more.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, girl.
Girl.
Yeah.
That's bold.
A lot more.
My New Year's resolution is to start headlining more.
Yes.
Because I've done it like
Is that something you can actually accomplish?
Yeah, because I've done it two or three times. I'm already featuring at shit. Like, it's not that big of a jump to go from getting booked for 15 to get booked for 25. So,
are you going to go on tour?
It'll move. Girl, I got to get. I don't even know how to fucking drive. We're not there.
You know how to drive? I'll teach you how to drive.
I don't need to learn.
That's okay. You can book plane tickets.
Oh, yeah, just teach them on somebody else's car.
Oh, yeah. It's too much going on at once. It's like a threesome. I can only focus on one thing at a time.
Jesse has been very. Jesse really wants
the sex slave you keep under the table.
Yeah, he's been licking Brian.
He's been very affectionate.
Usually ignores us. Brian, what do you want for 2019?
Well,
besides Trump out of the White House,
I would really like it if we didn't put children in cages, Mark. Okay. But I guess
can you do that?
Headlining and fucking more matters more to these people. I would like to know, probably the biggest thing that happened in 2018, and I'm not joking, is Thanos snapped his fingers and half of existence wiped out, not just the world.
Spider-Man was gone.
He is. And so I would like that to be fixed, and I hope that Earth's Mightiest Heroes will do it for us.
Will that happen in 2019?
I believe so. It's happening in April. Avengers Endgame is coming out.
Karma, do you understand any of the straight he's talking?
None of it.
Avengers isn't straight. Avengers is everything.
Straight language.
Fucking made 2 point something billion.
Aww.
Well, does Bernie Madoff not like him?
Is he still alive?
Probably.
No, he died.
No, he died in prison.
Aw, did they run with a broom like they did Jeffrey Dahmer?
No, they did him with like weights, didn't they, or something?
I think he had a heart attack.
Dahmer?
No.
Or Madoff?
Madoff. Yeah. No, I think Dahmer got...
The prison food was like prison kosher.
Dahmer was beaten to death in the weight room, I know, but it might have been with a broom thing.
Okay. Well, that was pleasant.
Yeah. What about you, Mark?
So it's 2019. It's is the 20th anniversary of when I met Fausto in April.
So, you guys met when I was a year and a half old.
You should
Are you that young?
Yeah, January 1998 is when I popped out.
Just for the record, we fed him non-alcoholic coquito.
Yeah. A lot of semen, but like no coquito.
We don't have that kind of relationship.
A lot of cocaine.
Fausto, what are you hoping for in 2019?
A new laptop. Somebody, because this shit costs so much. Do you have like a press so we can just do counterfeit money or something? So for me, like the, you know, cooking with drag queens is obviously like a really great, amazing project. And I feel in some ways it's gotten a little stale. And so I want to make Cooking with Drag Queens great again. Like Trump.
Trump has let us say Merry Christmas, so I'm very finally.
I couldn't say it before. Most people would just shoot me in the head if I ever said it in public.
It was very upsetting.
So to me, you know, 2019, this year was about inviting music into my life. And
what?
Inviting music into my life.
Who's music?
more music.
Lorenzo music?
Listening to more music, making more music.
Oh.
And just, you know, being around more musicians. And I think that was a really great thing.
Getting
for 2019, it's definitely making more videos.
With musicians. Backstage.
Or porn videos where Mark ejaculates into a cup of water.
Oh, you want me to?
20 times for your...
For fans.
20 times for your 20th anniversary.
So in 2019, we're initiating a world of fun because we have all this amazing content in our archives here, in our vault. There's like videos and podcasts and photographs I've never seen the light of day, like, and really good stuff that we just don't have the resources to put out there.
It's hard to release a whole pick.
Well, it's, you know, editing a video or editing a podcast that never was able to be posted for one reason or another, I think would be really fun to see. And, you know, yes. Sort of like the stuff that we did. We have stuff with RuPaul that still hasn't
seen the light.
With Mama Ru. And there's like, you know, podcasts where we actually like talked about with RuPaul about, you know, the beginnings of RuPaul's Drag Race. And that stuff, I think, is a part of history. And I'd like to make that available to everybody. So we're going to start a Patreon this year to not only allow that to happen, but also hopefully if it continues to grow to give you guys your own shows, basically.
Kinky.
If you want it.
Who, the audience?
No, you guys.
Oh!
Matt,
sexy bitches,
Karma, and Brian. If you want it.
Also, the E.G. Daily interview you guys did where she talked about watching her Paris Hilton sex tape with her ex-husband.
So talk about this really fast so people are already like writing into this because it's it was breaking news. And it wasn't intended. CNN, so E.G. Daily, we had set up an interview with E.G. Mark got a gig that he couldn't get out of.
Voice of Tommy Pickles.
And the voice of Tommy Pickles, Dottie from Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
I'm a loner, Dottie.
She was the star of Happy Feet, penguin.
She was in Valley Girl.
And
she
Babe, she, Pig in the City. She was did the voice what? Of Babe.
She took
she
him out.
Babe's voice?
She yes. took him out in Valley Girl. She took them out.
I miss my mommy.
You mean her breasts.
She took them out.
She was topless.
How'd you know I say that
she
when I come?
She whipped them out.
So I asked a friend of mine, you know, because they run similar circles. I said, do you know anything about E.G. Daily that I could ask her that might be interesting? And they said, yeah, ask her what she thought about her husband being the other guy in the Paris Hilton sex tape. The famous one.
The other guy.
The notorious one, right?
Notorious.
And so we started talking about relationships and how you sort of want to, if you're stuck in a bad relationship with someone, you know, that sometimes it's good to get out of it because it's not necessary for you, but it's also for your friends and family. And to, you know, to not be in a dysfunctional
state. Leave the motherfucker.
Yeah.
They really do.
Girl.
And so, you know, I just started bringing this up and she was like, you know, I'm really glad to be able to talk about this. And yeah, but she actually has a very healthy, good relationship with her ex-husband. But he was the other guy in the Paris Hilton.
The only guy.
Yeah.
He was the guy fucking Paris.
His penis, his beautiful penis, titties, yeah. And blew on her titties and all this stuff. So it was actually quite an amazing moment.
Real.
So we got to talk about the most famous sex tape in history.
There's his wiener.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big one.
Oh, yeah, honey.
Nice.
She's doing her best, too.
She's really good. Being married to that.
Yeah.
You can get tired of it.
Well, she divorced him, so.
Well, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah. He kept asking her to make squeal like a pig noises, and so, I got two deliverance and not enough babe.
Brian, are you going to be looking at more porn in 2019?
I love how you're just like, I'm just going to watch porn during this whole podcast.
Well, it's all about this show.
Yeah.
It was,
yeah, that's true.
It was Christmas stuff. And
listen, I want to thank you guys for coming on the podcast and being guests.
Coming
on.
I think
you should take
you guys are some of my favorite people in this whole world, and aww. I'm glad that you guys are here for our basically for our non-plus listeners, the last show of this season. Tomorrow we'll be putting out our show Incredibly Strange Music
Christmas Music
Volume 10, and that's only for our Plus subscribers.
Ooh. And so we're going to be looking at Aretha Franklin's Drunken Rants on the Night Before Christmas.
I love that already.
Which is unbelievable. Mariah Carey singing off key.
You mean her most of her concerts?
Yeah.
Most of her concerts. Actually her All I Want for Christmas Is You singing off key at the Rockefeller Center.
Oh, yes.
And a lot of songs that had sort of unintended consequences or where things went wrong or horribly off the rails. Christmas songs that just went a little too far.
Are you going to do the Patti LaBelle one where her backup singers never showed up?
That already was talked about last year.
We did that last year.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Where my background singers?
Oh, we did talk about that with Lady Bunny recently, and she's like, that's old. And we're like, okay, lady, so let's just relax. It's okay. We can still talk about things. It's Christmas. It's about traditions. Sometimes you want to repeat stories, right?
I got greens, beans, potatoes, tomatoes. Oh, wait, that's Thanksgiving. Never mind.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. When my background singers. So for Patti LaBelle, she doesn't have backup singers because she does not need any backup.
No.
It is in the background.
Exactly, because they are beneath, behind, and
yes,
away from her.
It is a set, and she is the light in the stage, making the show entertaining, and don't you forget it.
God damn it.
So
she
I want to thank
sing a high D.
I want to thank the listeners and everybody who's been part of Feast of Fun for all these years. We love you. We celebrate you. And remember that the holidays is about getting together with friends and family and learning about the humble power of music as the best gift that you can give.
Well, the Merry Christmas.
That's for that Santa Claus porn. Thanks, guys, for coming on the show.
Happy
holidays.
Bye.
Bye. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy Hanukkah.
Everyone.
Yeah, don't forget.
Over. Yeah, we're just talking over karma.
I just came to laugh.
And she has.
I have a lot.
Yes.
You guys are hilarious.
We do our best. God bless you.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.